Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Who's giving it all this morning? Say, neighbor, I'm giving it all. I'm giving it all. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Acts, the second chapter. This is a wonderful season that we're in. If you need a Bible, just please raise your hand, and the ushers will come bring you a Bible. It's a great season that we're in because we're doing a lot of acknowledging during this month of what Yahweh has done for us. He provided his son, Yeshua, the Passover lamb, for our sins. So in that, we recognize Passover. Then he arose triumphantly with the victory all in his hand, the victory over death and hell, hallelujah, so that you could live in victory. Can I get an aman on that one? Somebody say, what's up with this aman? I'm used to, man, well, the Hebrew word is aman. It means it is confirmed. It is a sure thing. I add my agreement to that because it is solid. So I'd rather say aman. So we're going to be acknowledging resurrection as well. So this is a wonderful opportunity. So we've been talking about the power, the glory, the anointing. And the reason why we're talking about this is, wouldn't it be a shame to walk this terra firma, as the apostle so eloquently says, and not be able to really experience God? You said that you believed in him, right? So he has an atmosphere. He has a presence that it's indescribable sometimes. You know his presence is here. But a lot of people, they're so caught up in their minds, they don't recognize his presence. So we're talking about being able to recognize the power, being able to recognize the glory, being able to recognize the anointing. So if you turn to Acts, the second chapter, and you know what? He's not trying to keep all of that glory to himself. He wants you to experience. Hallelujah. He wants you to have an experience with him. So when we read Acts, the second chapter, the 17th verse, and it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Tell your neighbor, we in the last days. These are the last days. Things are winding down. This is a lot of craziness going on, as he said that it would. And so in the last days, there was going to be something happening for us. And it says, saith Yahweh, he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon what? So he's going to pour out upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Meaning there was going to be some works, some things that are observable that you would be able to experience. He was going to take his spirit and he was going to what? Pour it out. So we've been talking about, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What are we experiencing when we experience his presence? And so we talked about a word, and the word was anointing. Say anointing. Anointing. And that is the pouring out. That is the mishah. That's the Hebrew word for it. Then say mishah. See, that's just something about these Hebrew words. Even the sound that they generate means something. Like the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Is Ruha Kodesh. That's the Holy Spirit. Say Ruha Kodesh. See? The very breath of God. And so when we talk about Misha, That is the anointing. Amen. Right? Say Ruha. Ruha. Say Misha. Misha. See, don't it sound like something's going on? And so he says, I'm going to pour out my anointing, my spirit, Misha. And it means a move, it means an act, it means an unction, it means a consecratory gift, meaning that what he pours out on belongs to him for his use, right? And it means to be anointed, rub with oil or pour out with oil. It indicates a setting apart. Do I got any people that are set apart this morning? You have received that anointing. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. They would anoint things. You could build things, yes. You could build a temple. You could fashion the things that go in it. But you could not use it unless the Misha was on it. And in Exodus, you don't have to turn there because we did that in the last week's Exodus 25th chapter. It talks about specifically what you needed to do to be able to anoint this. You couldn't just use any old oil. I told you a couple weeks ago, you couldn't just pull out no Crisco or Wesson. You know, that's what we do. We, you know, safflower. No. Y'all, you good. You need that, don't you? It had to be specific. And in the 25th chapter, he was talking about all of the things that were needed to bring this holy oil together. Then he said all of the things that were needed to be able to build his sanctuary, build his temple. You couldn't just come at him any old kind of way. If he asked for scarlet, you had to give him what? Scarlet. If he asked for blue, you had to give him what? If he asked for purple, you had to give him what? If he asked for gold, you have to give him what? Well, I want to bring him aluminum. No. He said, bring me gold. Say, we serve a specific God. Hebrews, the 13th chapter says, Yeshua Mashiach the same yesterday, today, and what? So what he was saying back then, what the precedent that he was setting was that I'm holy. I'm holy. And you can't come at me just any way you want to. You got to come at me the way I tell you. You need to what? Well, why do we got so many churches and so many people that say, well, it don't make no difference how you get to them. He's just glad that you get to him. Tell your neighbor, uh-uh. Say, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. And so we got to understand that he has requirements. He has a certain way that he wants things done. And so we were looking in the 25th chapter of Exodus. We were looking in the 30th chapter of Exodus. And we understood why we were, okay, so somebody threw up the anointing oil. Look at that. He says pure myrrh. And that was the resin from a small thorny tree collected when one hits the bark by penetrating the bark. Sweet cinnamon. These are all the ingredients for the oil. Somebody say sweet cinnamon. Sweet cinnamon. Well, I tasted a little sweet and sour cinnamon the other day. I think he might like that. He said, no. I asked for what? Sweet. I don't want no sour cinnamon. I don't want no regular cinnamon. I wanted what? Sweet calamus. It's a fragrant cane whose root is highly prized as a spice and it grows in Arabia and India. It's specific. He said, I want cassia. This is an aromatic bark too of a shrub. And he wants olive oil. Light olive oil. No, he wants pure. He wants it the way he wants it. So that a God that would say specifically, I need these things. And then I will do something. So let me just take you here. He says, let's go to Leviticus. He says, if you want me to dwell among you, I need you to do it like I want it. I need you to follow my instructions. So go to Leviticus, the 6th chapter. So everything that went into the temple had to be anointed. Everything. All the tools that were used. Guess what else had to be anointed? The people that operated in there. So Aaron had to be anointed. His sons had to be anointed. Everybody that had anything to do with it had to be what? Anointed. And so we go to the 6th chapter. And so there were specific things that he said had to be carried out. So Leviticus, the 6th chapter. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, then the Hebrew name for Leviticus is what? Vayikra. So it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. So the altar that was used in that place, the fire should be burning in it. And it should not be put out. Well, I think it's a waste for that thing to be burning all night. That's a lot of wood that we got to put in there. What'd he say? He said, it shall not be put out. And he said, and the priest shall burn wood on it, what? Every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of these of the peace offerings. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. And it shall what? Why he don't want it to go out? He said, I don't want the fire to go out because I never go out. You want me to dwell among you? You want to experience me? Well, keep that fire burning. I don't ever go out. I'm ever what? I'm ever burning. I'm ever present. I'm ever ready. Whatever. And who knows that? Because anytime you need something, he's right there to provide it. All you got to do is what? Call on him. He's ever burning. So therefore, if you want to experience my presence, you better keep that fire burning. You better keep that altar burning. Don't let it go out. Right? So he's giving us those instructions. So go to the 16th chapter. Same book, Vayikra, Leviticus. Say we serve a specific God. So I'm just going to do a little teeny review of what we did the last week. So 16th chapter, the 12th verse. You got it? Okay, so anytime that you were working in within that tabernacle, you had to handle the offerings a certain way. So the 12th verse of the 16th chapter says, and he shall take a censer. You see that? Full of burning coals of fire off what? From the altar. So the censer was the thing that would you transfer the fire. And he said that you needed to take that censer. What? And you needed to take that censer to the burning altar. So to light that censer, you were supposed to get the fire from the altar. Somebody say ever burning. So anytime you brought that censer there, the fire was what? Say ever burning. That's what we, anytime you need something, you just what? Take it to his fire, right? And so it says, this is how you're going to do it. And it says, full of burning coals of the fire from off the altar before Yahweh. And his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And the 13th verse says what? And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yahweh, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he what? Die not. Ooh, don't that just sound like power? To signify what is going on in heaven, right? Ever burning, ever present, right? So he says, if you want to experience me, you better follow these directions. So where were you supposed to get the censer fire from? Where are you supposed to get the censer fire from? Y'all better get it right. Because there may be consequences if you don't get it right. So let's try that again. Where were you supposed to get the fire for the censer? The ever-burning altar. So then go to Leviticus 10 chapter. These instructions were already laid down. So it's the 10th chapter of Leviticus. You got it? Say, I got it. You need it? Say, I need it. Right. So Aaron had four sons, and two of the sons were on duty. And they were given specific instructions how they were supposed to handle the sacrifices. And so, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his what? Censer. So they had a censer that they were supposed to use, and they were given instructions. You go to the what? So it says, they had their censers, and they put fire in them and put incense in them, but they offered strange fire. So why would the word say they offered strange fire? Because the fire that they brought was not the fire from the altar. They went somewhere else and said, well, let's light the censer over here. It's probably more convenient to get the fire from over here. What we don't need to go up in there to do it. Let's just get our own fire and then say your own fire. It's strange fire. Now, I don't know where he lit that thing up at. But in Hebrew, zur, don't that just sound strange? Zur means unauthorized. Zur means no good. Zur means not what he asked for. Zur means strange fire. Tell your neighbor, strange fire. Unauthorized. I thought I told you, you don't light that censer with any fire but the fire that is ever burning on my altar where my presence is. Any other fire other than my fire is strange. So in this day and age, believers are going around lighting up with a fire that is unauthorized. We getting our fire and our ideas from other places other than the source where we should have been getting it all along, the authorized source. But we got a whole lot of fires burning over the city, a whole lot of church. You can go down a block, two or three blocks where we used to have our church at, and there was all kinds of fires burning. Some were authorized, some were strange. Well, it don't matter. Well, what God you serving? Because the God that I serve says it matters. He's saying, you can't get your fire from just anywhere. We going to strange peoples talking about, you got a light. Isn't that what people used to do? When they had something to light up, but they didn't have no fire, so they go somebody else. You got a light. I'm telling y'all right now, you don't know what they lighten up. You don't know where that fire what? He said, you don't know where that fire been. Say, zur. Do I got some people that got some authorized Holy Ghost fire? See, you might think that the Old Testament don't mean nothing. Oh, that's old. That's why. No. Old don't mean it's done away with. Old means it's a foundation. Old means that it's seasoned. Old means that it's mature. Old means it's to be valued. Do I got any old people in the house? Hey, I mean, we made old a bad thing. It ain't bad to be old. You done lived. You done got
truth, you know where what humility means. You know where you're coming from.
Them young folks still trying to figure that out. They think they know everything. They don't know nothing. Pastor, you young. No, I'm old. I don't know how old I am. I'm old enough. Hallelujah. But when the Old Testament is speaking, you better listen. Because he's laying a foundation. Tell yourself that foundation don't go away. Don't go away. Well, it's all brand new. We're going to stay in the New Testament. We're going to keep that foundation because that's showing us types and shadows. It's showing us what's to come. So it means something. So go here. No. I'm not finished. So we understand the strange fire. Okay. So this is the, after strange fire, he says, the officer said, go back. Strange fire before Yahweh, which he what? Don't bring me strange. He, you know why? Because he knew there were other fire sources out there. He knew that we were going to. Anybody seen some other fires? I've seen a whole lot of fires. I've seen some. And in chemistry, it's interesting. I'm a chemist by my degree. And I worked in the industry for 15 years. And we worked on different instruments. And you could tell what a mineral was or a substance was by the way it would burn. It would give off certain colors. Some stuff actually has a red flame. Some things actually have a yellow flame and so forth and so on. So depending on what you were burning, the color would change. So Yahweh, in all his wisdom, he knew that there was all kinds of fires out there. So he was like, I'm going to give you the fire above all fires. And I can't get you to, I don't want you getting your fire from nowhere else. I don't want no yellow burning. No green burning, because there's green burning fires too. There's purple too. Anybody, the gas company, you ever look at your pilot sometime? What color is that there? Blue. Is it on? Somebody say, I don't know. But he knew. I'm so thankful that he says, listen, I want to give you a fire. But I want to give you the right fire. And all you got to do is just get the fire from me. Follow the instruction. And so the second verse says, what? And there went out fire from Yahweh. And his fire devoured them. And they died before Yahweh. He says, you're going to bring me strange fire? You're going to suffer the what? The consequences. He says, oh, you think that's fire? Let me show you what the fire is. Let me show you what it is. Boom. Third verse says what? Then Moshe said unto Aaron, somebody say wisdom. Wisdom's talking. Listen. He says, this is it that Yahweh spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them. Because, wait, hold up. Why did Aaron have to? It's interesting. Moshe said what to him? He's talking to Aaron, right? Evidently, Aaron must have had a reaction. Why did God kill my boys? They was in there. They was using the censer. But they had what? So evidently he was like, what happened? And Moshe said, this is that. Somebody say, this is that. What does it mean? I told you before. I had already told you how it's to be done. And these are the consequences when you don't do it the way I told you to do it. This right here, this is that. This right here is what happens when you don't.
disobedient. Why? Because Yahweh says, I will be sanctified in them. You better not come to me in any old kind of way. If you're going to come to me, I will be sanctified in you. You better. Somebody say, stop playing. Listen. We are so, I'm going to include myself into this too. We are just so, we tripping all the time because we expect him to do everything that we want him to do. But we think that he shouldn't have no expectation of us. Well, you love me, God, so you suggest, you know I ain't perfect. He will be sanctified in them. This is not Pastor Tom throwing this at you. I didn't write this, but I believe this. I didn't write this, but I trust this. I didn't write this, but guess what? I received this. I didn't write this, but I understand this. I didn't write this, but I know it's the truth. Does anybody else know it's the truth? Can't do nothing unless you believe this. So he's like, I will. No, not I might. Not I sometimes. No. If you're going to step to me, I will be sanctified in you. He says, I will be sanctified. Somebody say, in them.
In them.
Somebody say, in them.
In them.
You got to be, only you know what's going on the inside of you. I'm looking out on this sea of people. I don't know what's going on with you. And I ain't even trying to find out because, you know, I'm trying to work out my own salvation on the inside. I'm going to give you the word, but I'm not the Holy Ghost police. I'm not driving by your house, seeing who's there, seeing what you're doing. Got a private investigator. You know, sister so-and-so is parked out of brother so-and-so's house, and it's 11 p.m. And I done got on y'all about this before in Bible study. Stop policing other folk. You need to focus in on what you're sanctifying on the inside. What's working on in you. I don't know about you, but I ain't got no time to be worried about what y'all doing. Somebody, people, Pastor Tom, did you know so-and-so? I was like, listen, what, how you find out? Well, you know, somebody just told me. Where they find out? And it's always, every time this he said, she said thing going on, and I know how the he's and the she's or the they, remember how they said, well, they said, who is they? Well, you know, I don't want to say nothing. I don't say that, but they said. I ain't never seen so many people so busy in everybody else's sanctification, everybody else's salvation, and they got some stuff. Somebody say the residue. We talked about that. You need to focus on your residue. Okay, why'd I go there? But it's the truth. You will be sanctified. I will be sanctified in that come what? Nigh me. That means to come up to me. And before all people, I will be glorified. Don't y'all know that other people's lives are affected by the way you live your life? If you live in a shaggy, tacky, you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and then you just ragtag. Now, listen, there's a difference. Yeah, I know y'all not perfect. But the apostle said, I press towards the mark of the high calling. That means it's in my heart. I'm pressing. I'm trying to do something. But you know when folks is just like, they don't just throw up to turn up. They just give up.
and they're just doing everything. At least if you press in. Somebody say press.
Press.
You're trying. But people are looking at your life. Listen, if you ain't got your life together, stop saying you're a believer and please stop saying that you go to 3CLA. This is a truth ministry here. We don't care. Listen, this is, you know, y'all, this ain't popular information. People ain't beating down the doors to hear the truth. They beating down the doors to hear some strange fire. Let me give you an example of strange fire. It don't matter what you do. You can live any old kind of way, but he loves you and he's merciful and we all gonna go up. He's so gracious and he's so merciful, he ain't gonna send nobody to hell. Matter of fact, I just don't believe that there is a hell. Well, where you get that fire from? But let me tell you something. You keep on believing that and you got some fire sure to come in your future. And it's not gonna be this fire, the ever burning one. It's gonna be the strange ever burning. I think it's more like a lake, they say. Do it right. Do it right. And this, I love this part. He says he will be glorified. He will. He will be glorified. And if you don't do it, it don't matter. He will be glorified. Say, he will be glorified. You will be sanctified. You want to experience him, you better receive your sanctification. For his glorification. When you walk this life the way it's supposed to be walked, he gets glorified. Ain't nobody looking at you and saying, oh, you know, they're so special. No. He said if he be lifted up, he would what? Draw men unto yourself. So what does that mean? That means that if you are living the life and if you lifting him up, you say, hey, you see this change in me? It's not because of me. It's because of the God I serve. He did something in me. He sanctified me. He justified me. He redeemed me. So therefore, don't glorify me. Glorify him. The same thing he did for me. And guess what, Aaron? Guess what Aaron had to do? Somebody say, he shut up. Because he was probably, oh, God, buddy. If you're going to step to me, come correct. And if you don't come correct, this is what happens. Somebody said, you're going to burn up. I didn't tell you to say that. I said, I heard somebody say it. Okay. So understand this. Let's go here. Oh, the anointing. So what is Yahweh saying? I put a little clip together. What is Yahweh saying? Yahweh saying this. Get this. Anything that has to do with my work and the work of my kingdom, from what we just finished reading, number one, it has to be special. You want to deal with me? You want to be in my kingdom? It has to be special. What does that mean? It's set apart for his use. It's holy. It's consecrated. Second, it has to be set apart. I don't want the devil using you. I didn't set you apart for you to be doing the nay-nay and what's the thing that they, what is it when they turn around and they flap? Twerk! Thank you. See, you know, a lot of people don't want to say nothing because they think they're locating themselves by letting me know that they know the terminology twerk. It's okay. I know that you've heard it. I didn't say you were doing it. I just know that you heard it. Now, some of y'all are doing it. Listen, you're set apart. Somebody create, some strange fireplace created this thing talking about twerking for Jesus. I'm not even going to use his real Hebrew name on that one. We going to twerk for Jesus. No, you don't. No. He's, Apostle said, go on and twerk for Jesus, just don't twerk for Yeshua. But that's some strange fire out there saying, no, we gonna twerk for Jesus. And they're actually what? Twerking. I told you, my wife went to a women's conference and an unnamed ministry, you know, because, you know, we want to come together and we want to fellowship and, you know, we want to glean information, knowledge, and we want to be able to share knowledge and, you know, have that exchange. And praise and worship was going forth in this beautiful women's, not our women's, it wasn't Radiance. It was an outside ministry. All right, that, you know, we were invited to. And so I said, go on, you know, go ahead, you know, go ahead and fellowship and, you know what to receive and you know what to put on the shelf and you know what to throw away. The three things, you guys have to have the discernment to when you hear some stuff, you hear some stuff that you know is wrong, throw it away. You hear some stuff that you don't understand, okay, put it on the shelf. And you hear some stuff that's truth, go ahead and receive it. But some people are stuff that needs to be thrown away. They just, ooh, let me have that. So praise and worship was going forth. And it was just like this. Everybody was sitting down. There was no toda. There was no yada going on, the raising of hands, all those things that demonstrate praise. And, you know, her and who she went with, they were, you know, trying to praise and rejoice, you know, enjoying the praise. And the other ladies were just kind of like, but what was the name of the song that they turned on later to get the ladies involved? Okay. Let me whip, let me nay nay. Yeah, they played that to get the ladies, you know, oh, y'all. Woo. Praise and worship going for nobody, everybody had a seat. Oh, but when that came, let me whip, let me nana. What you know about that, Pastor? Well, I heard it, but I ain't been whipping and nay-naying. Somebody said, guess what happened? All those sanctified ladies got up and they start what? Whipping and nay-naying. What? This is church. Somebody say this was church. If you want to deal with me the way I'm expecting to be dealt with, you set apart. You're not whipping and you're not nay-naying. I need you lifting and praising. Anybody lifting and praising? That's what I'm talking about. Has to be set apart. Because when you doing that stuff and when you dropping it like it's hot, that's nothing but flesh. What you're dropping a boatload of flesh. It has nothing to do with sanctification. It has nothing to do with the kingdom. Oh, but it's fun. Okay, it's flesh, and it may be fun, but he said, when you come to me, can you honestly say there's something sanctified about dropping it like it's hot? What's number three? It's holy. Kadosh, holy, righteous. Fourth, it's extraordinary and unique in my own way. That's Yahweh talking in his way. It's unique. It's only for me. It's extraordinary. What does extraordinary mean? It's not ordinary. Flesh is ordinary. The supernatural is extraordinary. You want a supernatural experience? Be extraordinary. Set your affection on the things that are above. You're seeking the things above, not the things beneath, right? And it's unique. It's all about him. Fifth verse. It's exactly how he wants it to be done. Not your way. Well, you know what? I have learned that everybody has a better idea on how everything should go. Oh, Pastor Tom, no, you should do it this way. Oh, no, it should do this way. Oh, you know, if I listened to all y'all, we'd have a billion different things going on in this place. I don't know about you, but I choose to do it the way he wants it done. If that's all right with you. Is that all right with you? That I choose it the way he wants it done and not the way? I don't even do it the way I want to do it. I'm always seeking. You know, Yahweh, what is the way? Show me. Show me how to do this. And it's funny because you come up with your own ideas and your own stuff, and then you want him to sign off on it. Yahweh, I came with this great idea, and I done figured it all out, Yahweh. Now, I just want you to make a way for me to do it. Wait, hold up. He said, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. So if you planted something at ground zero, you need to be seeking him and acknowledging him and say, Yahweh, what steps should I make? What things should I do? I don't want to do nothing unless it's about you, unless you tell me, unless you direct me. That's why we mess up and we fail at so many things, because we're trying to do it our own way. We just did it his way. So go here real quick. And I'm just going to open this up. I won't be able to finish it. But that's why we call it a series. Go to Isaiah, Yeshayahu. Oh, thank you, Father, because you have told us the way it needs to be done. Isaiah 61. If you got it, there, got it. He says this, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. Because the Lord, Yahweh, has what? This is the prophet speaking. And he says, there's a work that I'm doing. There's a work to come. Okay? And this work requires something. The Spirit, the Ruach of Yahweh, is upon me. What does that mean? He has anointed me. The Ruha, the Spirit has what? Oh, poured out on me. And when it poured out on me, there was going to be some things demonstrated in me that would be happening that would signify that the Ruha, or the anointing, the Misha, is upon me. And he says, he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Without the anointing, I can't do that.
Come on now. Come on.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. It's not because of me, but it's because the Spirit, the Ruha, has anointed me. He has poured out on me so that I'll be able to do these things.
Come on.
He has poured out on me to proclaim liberty. See, without the Ruha, you are still bound. But with the Ruha, you have been set at liberty and you can proclaim it. I'm free. I'm free because of the Ruha. How do I know I'm free? Because of the Ruha. Oh, see, y'all not ready for this. Go to the 10th. Go flip back to the 10th chapter. I can proclaim liberty because I've been anointed. I'm not talking about me, Tom Washington. I'm saying the scripture is saying that. But truth be told, I have received the Ruha. So therefore, I have received the Misha, the anointing, as you have received a Misha, an anointing, so I can truly stand up here in front of you and proclaim the gospel of Yeshua. Now, I ain't that special because you're supposed to have the Ruha.
You're supposed to have the Misha that allows you to get up and proclaim the gospel. Tell somebody, you know what? He freed me. And when I go to the Isaiah the 10th chapter, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulders. Because why? And his yoke from off his neck. Why? And the yoke shall be destroyed. Why? Because of the anointing. The anointing does something. It frees you. It destroys. I was telling the Monday night prayer, it don't just take the yoke off. It don't just lay aside the yoke. It don't just set up the yoke for use later on. Tell somebody it destroys it. It obliterates it. What does that? The anointing. So therefore, I can flip back to 61, and I says, so I can proclaim. 61:1. I can proclaim what? Liberty to the captives. There's some other folks out there that's bound. Why are they bound? Because they don't have the anointing. But what do you have? You have the anointing. So you can say, hey, if you want to be free, you need to obtain the same victory that I did. It's because of the anointing. And I proclaim it to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Okay, I got to end it right here, but I got to say this. Is anybody set at liberty this morning? Has anybody received the liberty of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? We are proclaiming the gospel. We are proclaiming freedom to the captive. Thank him for your freedom. Thank him for the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Of the anointing. Father Abba, we must acknowledge you right now, because we could do nothing, we could say nothing, we could accomplish nothing without your anointing, without your ruha. My shackles, our shackles have been broken. Our yokes have been destroyed. Oh! Because of the anointing. Thank you for the anointing that set us free, that made us free. And so right now, Father Yahweh, we're asking that you minister to us, the important, each and every one of us, how important it is for the anointing to shine through us, to shine through our lives, that we can tell others that are captive, that they can be free, that the prison doors can swing open, the prison doors of drugs, the prison doors of addiction, the prison doors of depression, the prison doors of sickness. There's no place, we're free. Help us demonstrate the power of your anointing. Let us walk in our freedom. Let us talk in our freedom. Let us be examples of the freedom that is in you, the good choices, the righteous choices that we make because of your anointing, that others will see the power of the anointing and they'll operate in it and they'll receive it. So we thank you for that, Father. Help us be better believers for you in these last days. Pour out on us. Pour out on us your gifting, your power. And we thank you for that. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So I need those, if you will, be seated. And keep your head bowed, please. Bow your head. Be pleased, you believers that are anointed and have the Ruha, the Spirit. I need you to intercede right now. I need you to go in. Bow your head and go in. Because this is a moment where we're saying, hey, listen, there's a couple of scenarios that we need to take the time to just call on right now. Because there's some people that are captive
this morning. There's some people that are bound in those prison doors. And I just want to tell you that the anointing is available for you today. The anointing, the freedom is available for you today. Freedom in the mind. They're prison doors in not having peace of mind. Confusion and all of the things that are not like him. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're saying, hey, I'm in this atmosphere and I know that I need something. I know that I need this relationship. I know that I need this ruha, this anointing that you're talking about. Because I know that I'm bound. I can't seem to move. I feel paralyzed in a certain way. I can't make the right decisions and stuff. You're in the right place. He's given us the spirit of liberty. Freedom from that bondage. So if you say, I want that relationship today, we can pray for you. All you need to do is just raise your hand. You say, I want that freedom. I want that freedom. I want that freedom. I want that ruha. I want that anointing. He'll do it for you. Second call, it might be somebody who says, hey, listen, you know, I had a relationship, but I drifted away. I am not operating in the power anymore. I am not where I need to be. I know this. And I need a re-anointing. I need him to restore my life to where I know it should be. I've drifted away from him. This is what happened. This is what he's speaking in this atmosphere right now. And if that's you, you say, listen, I need a rededication. I need a re-anointing. Raise your hand for that and we'll pray for you for that. We'll agree with you for that restoration in your life. Hallelujah. That's one. Hallelujah. That's two. Now, if you raise your hand for any of those things, you got to mean it and you got to declare it. Everybody's got their head bowed. I'm going to pray for you, but you have to demonstrate you're ready for this. You really want it. And that only happens while everybody's head is bowed. You walk down here where I am. Come to where I am. We'll pray. We'll get everything that we need. Don't let the enemy keep you in your seat. Everybody has their head bowed. Come, let's join in prayer right now. Let's get what you want. Let's get that anointing. Let's get that ruha. Let's get that freedom right now. Serve a God of freedom. Hallelujah. Broken in our lives. It only comes with his power. So right now, Father, we thank you for drawing my brother and my sisters. Right now, Father, we know that no man or woman comes unto you except you draw them first. So right now, Father, as they go and see what your word says about their situation, really quickly, Father, that you are already working in their favor. You are already opening doors for them. We thank you for that, that they receive all the transformation and all the new life that you have offered. We give you glory in Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Keep your head bowed. Keep your head bowed.